Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best, where the paranormal is normal, where that which you thought you knew, you didn't, and where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, hello everyone, and thanks for tuning in and listening. And tonight we got Larry on his mountaintop, who's been monitoring the situation in the Middle East. Excuse me, and not good. Let's put it that way. It's not good. We have no idea what the response of Israel will be beyond what maybe they've already done. But anyway, hi, Larry. How are you doing?
Oh, just up here on top of this mountain trying to get my binoculars all set up again. Had big storms and all of that, and knocked them down, and can't really get them repaired until the end of the month. But I'm working on it, so people just be patient with me.
Yeah, well, this is the way it works. We get hit, we get hit, we get hit, and we get hit. And they don't want the word out. So anyway, let's start with this Bible code, this new Bible code on this murder, because that may be a real big deal. What do you have on that?
Well, it's very interesting. I was wondering about it because it's already a big, big, big deal in the world news. The world is literally going crazy with the deep state and the globalists and the left going nuts and trying to pin all this with that Khashoggi possible murder in Turkey at the Saudi embassy on Trump. And so this thing is really developing in an incredible way. You know, what's interesting, Barry Rothman just updated that Torah code called Khashoggi murder, and here's the wording. Number one, Khashoggi. Number two, slaughtered. Number three, Turkey. Number four, to kill me. Number five, Riyadh. Number six, Putin. Number seven, president. Number eight, Israel.
Wow. Does he give an explanation for what he thinks it is?
You know, it's kind of interesting because it does seem to point, possibly, and of course, everybody's got their own interpretations of the matrix. The matrix is there in the Torah, but how you interpret it a little bit may go one way or the other, but it appears that Khashoggi was slaughtered in Turkey, and to kill me, Riyadh, it just definitely tickles my ear again on these two assassination attempts, especially the one at the palace in Riyadh against Salman.
Yes.
And, of course, it ties in Putin and Israel and the president. And so we don't know where that all goes particularly, but it's a big deal. I mean, apparently it is a big deal, and it does look like that he was killed, but maybe he was linked into a conspiracy against the Saudi government.
Well, from what I read, they cut him up while he was alive, which would indicate that somebody was really upset with him and wanted to pay him back for something that evidently you don't do when you're dealing with a dictatorship, which is, of course, Saudi Arabia is a total dictatorship. That's probably not the first time they've done stuff like that. So, but what I'm interested in is the inclusion of Putin and Trump. What's your take on why they would be included? Is this a massive conspiracy, or are they just going to be drawn in? Is this one more thing that's going to draw them in to this war that's already developing in Israel now?
Yeah, I would have to say that they're in the code because of what happened may draw Putin and Trump and Netanyahu into a problematic situation. And this is what's interesting, Stuart, because of this, the deep state especially is trying to break relations with Saudi Arabia and Trump. In other words, they want to shatter the three wild card coalition against Iran before something happens to Iran.
Now, does the Bible code point to Prince Salman as the perpetrator? It almost sounds like it does.
Well, it really doesn't. It links to kill me, and the only person that somebody's been attempting to kill has been Salman, and it links to kill me with Riyadh, and that's where the assassination attempt occurred.
Oh, okay. I get it.
Yeah, that happened at the Royal Palace in Riyadh.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right. And, of course, they tried again in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And they didn't get him. So, yeah, they've had several attempts. So this guy evidently was in the middle of this, perhaps, and they took a dislike to that.
Yeah, I've heard some. Matter of fact, I believe it was Hal Turner made an interesting comment. He said possibly this Khashoggi had allied himself with the wrong prince. In other words, one that was against Salman.
Well, they had a deal, and it was very unusual, on whatdoesitmean.com, and they were talking about a camel race, and that perhaps that had something to do with it as well. I don't know. I mean, it was a very odd thing that they threw in there. Who knows what people think and what's really going on. Before we move into this war, and by the way, folks, if you haven't prepared, you should, because we can get drawn into this thing almost overnight. And we also know that the Bible talks about get thee into darkness, get thee into silence. That's a prophecy against Babylon America. Well, to get us into darkness and to get us into total silence, we either have to be hit with a nuclear situation or we have to get hit with a EMP device of some sort, which would shut down the United States instantly, or for the most part. And before we get into this war situation, there's something else that may be tied into this. And this is this satellite thing. This is weird, Larry. You've done some work on it. What do you make of this? It looks like UFOs or something shot down or killed or blew up one of our military, or is that right? It's one of our military satellites?
Well, that's BP Earthwatch, and I'll have to post that later, but you've got the link also. You could post it. It's and the headline of BP Earthwatch was four UFOs destroy a U.S. satellite, and what's interesting, when you watch it, it's very clearly there. It's an AMC-9 satellite that was sitting stationary watching the continental United States and South America. And if you'll remember, it's very possible, Stuart, that you remember the previous YouTubes, you know, that were talking about some fleets, you know, off of in the Caribbean and off of South America that were like
yes.
Venezuela you know, Grenada. You remember
right.
Somebody was watching those fleets, and maybe this satellite was the one they were using to observe what was going on down there. So, you know, anybody could have done this. It says when they say UFOs, that's not a saucer craft. That's just simply something that came up around this satellite and destroyed it. And it could have been Russian. It could have been Chinese.
China.
You know, it could,
yep.
You know, they've got killer satellites, too. And we don't know what it was, but we do know you could very clearly see it blown up. And other things arriving that apparently caused this explosion of that satellite, so that area went dark. And it concerns me a lot with the time frame we're in, Stuart, when we have possibly an American military satellite that's an observation satellite, go dark or be silent because we could come under an attack of some type and would not know it.
Well, that's what I was concerned about, too, because here we have this war going on in Israel, and it seems like this could – I mean, how long are they going to sit there and just take these – now, this was, as I understand it, a missile attack as well as a rocket attack down by, you know, the Gaza Strip there. But is that – these missiles, as I understand it, did not, the Iron Dome defense system didn't even see it, didn't even get activated. That bids bad for Israel, and maybe they were just testing it, and now the real attack is going to take place. Kind of interesting to me that this October 17th, you know, we were talking about that seven-day warning. Maybe that was a seven-day warning for Israel. You know, so they were hit on that day. And maybe this is the beginning of the war that leads to bad things for everybody on planet Earth. I mean, to me, mankind's insane anyway. He's fallen. He can't seem to do anything right. All he does is fight and destroy, can't do anything else. So we're fast getting to that point where, you know, the world will be destroyed because of all this. What do you think on what's going on over there? I mean, are they going to, I would think they have to respond. I can't imagine them not responding to this.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, Stuart. And this missile attack did take Israel by surprise. They were not expecting it, and it was missiles. And ironically, they identified them. Matter of fact, they reported that Palestinians were using advanced Tornado G Grad missiles to target Beersheba and the greater Tel Aviv area. And, of course, it says, Deptophile reports Israel surprised by Palestinian upgraded missile attack on two major Israeli cities, Beersheba and Tel Aviv. And you're exactly right. The Iron Dome missile systems failed to react. But you got to remember, that not being rockets, in other words, these were missiles, which were advanced missiles, which would travel so fast, Stuart, the minute they launch them, they're almost at the destination. So either the Iron Dome did not have time to pick the missiles themselves up, or, if you'll remember, they've had some fake calls, so to speak. They've had, drones and things that have set off the Iron Dome missiles, so they had apparently turned the sensitivity down just a little on them, and maybe they got it too low and they just didn't detect them. But yeah, these got through and they hurt people in Beersheba. A home was hit and a number of people hurt, and they even dropped some missiles inside Tel Aviv. And I have to say, Stuart, it looks like this may be a test run for these new missiles that apparently they've snuck in into Gaza, because Hamas hasn't had these type missiles. These are probably going to link back to either be Chinese or Iranian, actually. And what's interesting is the fact that Netanyahu went into emergency cabinet meeting right after the Gaza missile attack, and then they actually bombed 20 Palestinian terror targets, you know, the IAF. But what's interesting here, and let me ask you this, now this is kind of telling. It makes you wonder if there's going to be more, because here's Hal Turner's World News report today. It says Hamas evacuates Gaza after missile attack, fearing massive Israeli strikes tonight. It says Hamas demanded Egyptian delegation leave Gaza immediately, and that reporting that the Hamas leadership has gone dark, reports heavy IAF or Israeli Air Force activity over Gaza. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't imagine that they're going to sit still. I mean, this is kind of like our satellite going dark. So there's no observation of an attack upon the United States. The timing seems very, very odd to me. There's something going on we're not being shown or being told at all. And, you know, the dating of this is, how do I word this? Strange. The Feast of Atonement, the real Feast of Atonement, appears to be coming up on the 19th and 20th. And then we have the 24th through the 26th, possibly, depending on how you look at it, would be Tabernacles. So here we are, right in the middle of the real Feast of Trumpets and all the way through to Tabernacles. And here we find this attack going on. Now, it's possible that, you know, it'll simmer down again. But one of these days, they have to do something. Now, Netanyahu has repeatedly said, we're going to more or less take you out. You keep this up, and we're going to just take you out. Well, that hasn't happened. It's just rhetoric. They make a few attacks, and then they quiet down, and everybody demands that we have a ceasefire. And all these ceasefires do for Israel is make it even worse, because Hamas, these people have sworn, as in Psalm 83, to destroy Israel, drive her into the sea, that she be remembered no more. And it makes me wonder why Israel repeatedly grants these ceasefires and just enough time for them to rearm. Obviously, now they have these new missiles. And I agree with you. I think this is a test case. They were trying to find out, number one, whether Iron Dome would protect it. And number two, could they target accurately enough to hit Tel Aviv and what was the Haifa, I think, was the other one, right?
Beersheba.
Beersheba. That's the one they hit. But then didn't the Soleimani of Iran, didn't he say that they were going to hit Tel Aviv? They could wipe Tel Aviv basically off the map. And I thought the other city was Haifa.
Well,
he said.
The Haifa, it was the leader of Hezbollah, Nasrallah, in Lebanon that threatened to destroy Haifa.
So this obviously then was a test, which would mean that, Bibi Netanyahu and those guys are sooner or later going to have to take action or they're going to be destroyed. And, of course, who knows? We're looking down the throat of Daniel chapter 8. We're looking down the throat of Isaiah 17 and Ezekiel 38 and 39, all combined somehow together. And we don't know exactly what the sequence is. But once this thing gets ignited, which may be now, because we have you heard any of the latest reports out of Israel? All we know is that they had a meeting with the security cabinet, but do we know what was decided?
Well, we know what the possible rumored reports were cited, and that was a total invasion of Gaza. And, they say that the IDF is ready for that. Now, the only thing, Stuart, the interesting thing is this, that Gaza is kind of a two-edged sword. It appears for some time now that Iran has been trying to get Gaza and provoke Hamas into doing enough strikes in Israel for Israel to actually begin to invade Gaza. When they do that, once they start, once they send in their tanks, they're committed. But when they get committed to invading Gaza, that's when Nasrallah in Lebanon can begin to fire those thousands of missiles from the north instead of while Israel's basically got a tank invasion going on in the south. And that's when actually they could fire the missiles out of Syria and Lebanon and really hit, like you said, Tel Aviv and Haifa and other areas. So it's a double-edged sword. When you go after Gaza, you got the other enemies around you ready to pounce.
Yeah, and basically the Russian forces are moving in as well on the border there of the Golan Heights. You've got Syrian forces, you've got Iranian forces, and Russian troops. And wasn't it Russia that said you don't have any right to be on the Golan? You know, that's if the UN says you do, then you do. Otherwise, you don't. And more or less was flexing their muscles that maybe they should be the ones who patrol that area. But what I'm kind of worried about is, let's say that we are on the verge, which I think is very, very close. You could have it delayed a year, I suppose, but it just doesn't look like it. Okay, so let's just run this scenario. Like you were saying, they go down into Gaza and they're starting to wipe out that whole problem that they've got. Then the other forces come in with all of their missiles and just launch an all-out attack against Israel. What's the United States going to do about that? We know that Trump told Putin, not Putin, but Bibi Netanyahu, we'll defend and support you no matter what you decide, basically. Was that not right?
Yeah, that's exactly what he said. And then he actually is given more munitions and arms and F-35 warplanes to Netanyahu.
So they're going to get pounded sooner or later. We know that. That brings the United States into it. That brings Russia into it, and Russia and China are together along with North Korea into it. That would be an ideal time for North Korea to launch the missiles that, you know, that have been in that prophecy that we were hit by North Korean missiles, but nobody knew where they had actually come from. And so we're watching some of this prophetic word come into play here. I mean, this could go down fairly rapidly, I would think. What do you think?
Well, I did get an email today from someone indicating that Stan Dale was extremely concerned over the next week or two. He was very, very concerned where this is headed.
Yeah, I think I got that one. Yeah, I got it. Just in case you did not see this is from a friend of ours, Stan Dale on Hagmans last night. I'm telling you this is a quote from Stan. I'm telling you this for a reason. Where I was, now this is interesting wording, the information I was able to glean and impart to you is that we need to prepare immediately, not delay a week or two, immediately for war in the Middle East. The situation is very volatile. This situation with Saudi Arabia and the United States can join us in a conflict with China and Russia, and don't forget North Korea, as well over all of their alliances in the Middle East. Well, I've always thought, basically, I mean, the Lord says, I'm going to put hooks into your jaws and I'm going to drag you down upon the Middle East. It almost acts like that Putin wants nothing to do with this battle, but he has to because of treaties. He doesn't have an option. He has to come forward and do it. This almost sounds like what Stan is from. I wonder what information he's got that we're not at all privy to. What do you think? Obviously, insiders.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure yet, but apparently he does have information, but it just links in with what we've been talking about. And at the same time, Israeli News Live, actually today, was reporting information that if you fit it all together from Hal Turner and others, you find that apparently there's a lot of NATO tanks being moved down into the areas involving Russia, and at the same time, Israeli News Live is reporting movement of Russian tanks. They're also moving a lot of you know, Belarus tanks, et cetera, all up and down this NATO border, you know, in that region. And by the way, I wanted to get this in real quick, too, and get your opinion of it. A very interesting report. You know, we just lost a pilot in the Ukraine, one of our pilots training there, and we did have reports that Israeli pilots and U.S. pilots were training in the Ukraine against the S-300 systems. Okay, here's a new one. It says Ukraine moves in big missiles they've been given for a planned invasion. So it appears, Stuart, possibly at the same time frame, Ukraine is being supported and is preparing for an invasion again of that Donetsk region, that eastern, I guess it is, region of Ukraine, and also possibly the Crimea. So this could be another big war right there.
Yeah, I you know, this thing is going to explode overnight when it does. It's kind of like the Bible implies, sudden destruction. When they're saying peace and safety, or peace and security, actually, sudden destruction cometh. Well, I was sent a video some time ago where all the world leaders at the United Nations, one by one, to get up and call Israel all kinds of names, used that term. So that has already occurred, and I happen to agree with Stan and the volatility of this whole situation. It's a powder keg. It can blow up instantly, and we will be involved in a war. And the other thing you want to remember, folks, in the prophecies against Babylon, we do not expect at the time the attack takes place anything. It comes as a total surprise. It comes suddenly without any warning whatsoever. So I think Putin has stuff we don't know about. We have stuff they don't know about. Israel has stuff that nobody knows about. And once this thing gets going, how do you contain it with the fallen nature of man, Larry? I don't think you can once it goes.
I totally agree, Stuart, with what you're saying. And if you look right now at America, we are totally fixated in the next few weeks over this absolute civil war of an election that's coming up in November. And at the same time, and I get a little crazy when people say that the U.S. couldn't be Babylon, because we're overflowing with Babel. When all our, you know, our continuous news cycle is talking about Elizabeth Warren and how much of a thousandth of a degree of Indian blood she might or might not have, Stuart.
Oh, it's total insanity. And for folks who don't believe that America is Babylon, I only have a one word with 100% assurance that I'm telling you. You very soon will know that America is Babylon. All the prophecies in the Bible, there's over 144 actual parameters. Go to our website, not our website, but our YouTube channel, Angel Fall 923. There's a video up there. It's 2 hours long. Why America is Babylon. Most people, they just say, well, America's not Babylon. I had a pastor tell me that. He said, well, I don't know anything about Babylon, but I know America is not Babylon. Well, what kind of insanity is that? This thing, God works on facts. He works on total facts. And if you don't want to read the Bible and accept the facts, then you're just going to walk into something more horrific than anything you could imagine. God gave us all this stuff so that we could read it, study it, and come to a valid conclusion. And you just can't refute it. Anyway, Larry, thanks a lot for coming on. And if something major happens in the next few days, obviously we're going to do another program on it. And but, folks, take Stan Deo's warning. Whatever final preparations you got to make, make them now. This thing is going to go down when it goes. It's going to go down so fast, none of us could accept, would believe it, actually. Anyway, thanks a lot, Larry. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you again as the Lord is willing. Good night, everyone.